Luke chapter 5. I wish that I could come up with other ways to approach those first 11 verses because I just love that story. I don't know what it is about that story. I just love it, and I probably could have redone another outline and so forth, but I better leave it there. And if you're not able to be with us last Sunday morning, let me encourage you. There's a couple of different ways for you to go back and listen to the message. You can purchase a CD as you walk out through the lobby on the left-hand side. Brother David Belk is there, and he is available to be able to help you purchase one of the CDs from any of the messages that are preached. But then you can also use an app called Sermon Audio. And on Sermon Audio, they have listed out all the messages here from FBT, and I appreciate the hard work that goes into that. It's almost on a weekly basis that someone will call or touch base with me and say, hey, Pastor, I listened to this message or that message, and appreciate the investment that's been made for these CDs to go out and then for the messages to be able to be put into electronic format for people to listen to later. And so either one of those would be great avenues. Let me encourage you to go back and listen to those, listen to the message from that opening section there, verses 1 through 11. We come to verse number 12 this morning, Luke chapter number 5, verse number 12. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 12. By the way, if you're taking notes this morning, you might add into your notes that this story is also recorded in Matthew chapter 8 and verses 1 through 4, and then Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. Here is Luke's take, and under the inspiration of God, he says this in verse number 12, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Let's ask the Lord's blessings upon our message this morning. Father in heaven, thank you so very much for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the tremendous music this morning. What a thought in all of the themes that have been sung and the numbers that have been played. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be complete in thee. We have our sufficiency in Christ, and I'm so thankful for that sufficiency. I'm grateful for the song that's been sung here by the men, and just thinking on that topic of when God is near. And there's such a beautiful blend in voices, and it draws my attention to the great significance of the truth and how you desire to have fellowship with us. And I pray, Father, that we would do what is necessary in our lives to walk in a manner that is holy and pure before you. And I pray that we'd have that desire to be holy as you are holy. And Father, this morning, if you see any wicked way in us, I pray that we would be quick to have those things reconciled. If there be any today that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that you would draw them to yourself, that they might be washed, that they might be clean, that they might be redeemed. Would you direct my thoughts as I seek to communicate this story to these dear folks today? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. At different times and different places, you perhaps, or a family member perhaps, have been in a position where you have some kind of an infirmity. It may be something that's been with you for some time, and a spouse has said to you, why don't you go and see the doctor? And more often than not, if our wives say that to us, our response is more often than not, I'll be okay. And then we go on in pain and we express the pain for another 3 weeks, and We say to our wives again, it'll be okay, it'll pass. And I know my wife in particular is tired of hearing that at different times as I express the infirmities that I deal with, right? Why don't you just go and see a doctor about it? No, it'll be okay. Somehow we think that the doctors are going to make us more sick, right? And surely we don't want to go to the hospital because if you're not sick, you're going to get sick if you go to the hospital, right? On a more serious level, though, maybe you've been in the doctor's office when someone has had tests run. And as those tests are run, the doctor sits down with one or more of the family members and begins to unveil the nature of what is ahead. This is what you're dealing with. This is how we will treat it. And these are the potential outcomes. Right now, we're praying for a couple of dear people connected with our ministry. Brother Tom Farrell and his wife are dealing with the issue of cancer in her body. And we'll get updates now and again as to what's taking place there and the encouraging words and then the difficult words. Last night, I received a text update from Brother Morris Gleiser, an evangelist that was with us in December, and they have found cancer in his body. And he sent a rather lengthy text out to his contacts, and he said, here's what I'm facing, here's what I'm dealing with, here's the medications that they've given, and here are the side effects of those medications. And so I'm thinking as to what that couple or those couples are going through, and we have people sitting right here in the midst that have received a difficult diagnosis. And as we come to a story like this, we are mindful that there have been illnesses in days gone by and even illnesses in this time in which we live in which there is little to no hope once the diagnosis has been given. And when we go to the Old Testament and the New Testament, we find a disease in which there was no human cure. That disease is leprosy. And it may be that you're reading through your Bible in a year and you covered the book of Leviticus and you find in Leviticus 13 and 14 the nature of what takes place when an individual will see a spot on their body. And leprosy was well known and people would recognize that leprous issue and they would have to go to the priest and have the priest identified. And again, chapters 13 and 14 detail much of what an individual would go through if they felt like they might have leprosy. If, in fact, it is declared to be leprosy, there are steps that are taken to protect the rest of the people around them. And so if I, as a husband, were diagnosed with a leprous issue, I would be put away from my family. I would be put away in the outskirts of a city. And again, I won't pretend to be walking through all these things jot and tittle, but just for you and I to know and to understand that if you have received the diagnosis of leprosy in your body, it meant that you were now outside of the community. And you'd have no further contact because it meant that it could transfer to other people. And it was not just that I would be an outcast now in dealing with the disease myself, but whenever I would carry about, I would have to let anyone know of in any kind of distance related to me that I was leprous. And so I'd walk with my head in a certain way, I'd walk in a certain fashion, and I'd vocally let people know, listen, I'm a leper. And I thought it was more times than what I'm about to tell you, but the scriptures detail for us 9 different illustrations of people that dealt with leprosy in the Bible. The first one was Moses himself. Do you remember when he is standing there at the burning bush, and one of the miracles or the miraculous signs that God shows to him is that he puts his hand inside of his vest or garment and then pulls it out, and he is leprous. And then he puts it back, and again, according to the Bible, the leprosy has gone away. 9 different times, though, that the scriptures detail for us the nature of leprosy, but in the Old Testament, it goes into great detail as to what would happen to an individual that was diagnosed and then, in a real way, dying with leprosy. You see, in going to the doctor, there was no cure. There were no medications. There was certain, and you'll notice with me, first of all, this matter, there was certain death. They were on a collision course with an end to their life. And not only would the end of their life be premature, but the end of their life would be very painful as the leprosy began to gradually eat away at their extremities. The leprosy begins to eat away at the facial features. It eats away at the fingers, and it eats away at the toes, and it begins to eat away at the body, and it is not only unsightly, it is not only a matter of them being separated from their family and from the community, but it is certain death. I'm going to pass away prematurely in a time in which I will never reach old age. But it's not only that I won't reach old age, but my friend, it will be a very painful death. You can imagine what it would be like to go through a scenario where you have been diagnosed with a difficult disease, and you have your family around you walking through that trial, but in this matter, they would basically walk through it alone. And so we find this man that is facing certain death. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. The Bible tells us, first of all, that he approaches Jesus. It doesn't tell us if he made any indication that he was leprous. It doesn't give any indication that he was crying out and letting everyone know that he was coming. It is though in the scriptures here in Luke that he appears out of nowhere. Behold! And he was on him. And the Bible tells us not only does he appear here before Jesus Christ, but number two, in this certain death, the Bible says that he's full of leprosy. Now we've heard that term as it relates to family and friends and loved ones and people that we're connected to through social media. And we hear this phrase, let's really pray for them because they were full of cancer. Maybe it was a test that revealed the matter. Maybe it was an incision that revealed the matter. Maybe it was a potential surgery. But the doctor comes out and says to everyone, folks, there's nothing we can do because they are full of cancer. So this man, no doubt, has been dealing with cancer for many years, or been dealing with the leprosy for many years. The Bible says he is full of leprosy. And one of the highlights that I want us to see as we walk through this matter of leprosy, and it is the application of leprosy from the Word of God, it's the matter of our sin nature. There is a connection between the matter of leprosy and the nature of the cleansing of the leprosy that we find here in these verses and the nature of our sinfulness. And so when we see these kinds of stories, I want us to not only reflect upon the cleansing that takes place with the nature of leprosy, but I want us to see the applications that are there for what God has done for you and for me in the forgiveness of sins. This man appears before the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that he is full of leprosy. He had a certain death. He was on a collision course with a premature and painful death. I will die. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It seems like in life that there are many people that give us guarantees. And they will make statements about a guaranteed win, about a guaranteed amount of funding, about a guarantee in what is going to be purchased, about a guarantee in a political promise. But there is one guarantee, my friend, that is true for everyone sitting in this room this morning. We all have an appointment with death. It is appointed unto man once to die. Now, if you and I travel around this globe, we will find man-made religions that seek to teach their proselytes that they die and they come back and they die and they come back and they die and they come back. No, my friend, nothing could be further from the Word of God. The Bible says that you and I have been given one life, and there is an appointment in which we will give an account of this life before Almighty God. The Bible declares that we have one life. The Bible declares, number two, in Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, that the wages of sin is death. You see, my friend, I am born in sin. My father and mother, they conceive me in the womb, they give birth to me, but I am of my father and I have a sin nature. That sin is revealed in the fact that I say things that displease God. I do things that displease God. I look at things that displease God. I go places that displease God. I say, I think, and I do things that displease a holy God. And the Bible says that there is a wage for that. There is a payment to be made. It is as though I have worked, I have labored, and now there is a consequence for my sinfulness. There is a wage, there is a payment for my sin. And what is that payment? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Boy, I wish that I had the same physical capacity at this stage of my life that I had when I was 17. Man, oh man, is it gone. My head says, yes, you can still do that. And my body just does not accomplish what my head says it can do. I know that's a source of frustration to people that are on my team in basketball. They want to come by me and say, did your head say you could do that? Don't do that again. One of the last picnics that we had here, someone came out with a brilliant idea to go out to the ball field and play softball. And they said, Pastor, come play. And I said, sure. Played softball and church softball teams and everything like that. That's no problem. I enjoy it. This is fantastic. Let's go do it. Rah, rah, yay, yay, yippee. I think I struck out the first time in slow pitch softball. I mean, the only other thing that could make it simpler is if they put the softball on a tee. Like, that's disgusting. I noticed that they've never asked me to play softball again. I don't know why. Man, I love that sport. I enjoy playing it. But I cannot do what my head says that I should be able to do. It's a reality of the fact that I'm getting older, and no matter what I might do to try to keep this body up, I'm on a collision course with death. The wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, Genesis chapter 3, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Let me just insert this parenthetical thought. This is one of the entire problems with evolutionary thinking. The Word of God details for us creation, and then man's sin, and then death. Evolution says that everything that is based in the world, it's all based upon death, upon death, upon death, upon death. My friend, death did not come until Adam sinned. And it is a stark contrast for us as we consider what the world says about how we got here and what God says about how we got here. Death has passed upon all men. My friend, if you would bear with me in the illustration, we are all covered in the leprosy of sin. We, as this man here in verse number 12, face certain death. But would you notice with me, number two, that there was not only certain death, he was on a collision course to die, but there's also a very certain dependence. Look what the Bible says at the end of verse number 12. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It is quite possible that as the diagnosis was received, that he would go anywhere and everywhere searching for some kind of cure. You know, in our day and age, there's all kinds of cures out there. They have medication that they can put together and they can seek to cure you of those ailments with medication. There are people that have these homeopathic type cures. And they say, if you'll do this, if you'll take this in, if you'll breathe this or do that, then this homeopathic way will bring healing, this oil or this incense or whatever. They have all kinds of chiropractic care. They have acupuncture. They have all kinds of different avenues by which people say we can bring about healing. And no doubt when an individual is diagnosed with the leprosy, they would look near and far away and say, okay, what can be done to stop it? What's the answer? Well, if you'll go to this specialty clinic, if you'll go to this specialty hospital, if you'll travel to this guy, if you'll do this, then this will bring healing. And yet, the leper just continues to get worse. He's facing certain death, but at some point in time, he turned to the one place that could make the difference. And I want you to read again with me the very certain dependence that this man had. The Bible says there in verse number 12, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There is no doubt in his mind that Jesus Christ has the answer. He comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he declares there very confidently with great faith, Lord, you can make the difference. In other words, folks, I cannot do anything to heal myself. In other words, no man can bring about healing in my body. In other words, there's no payment or labor that can bring about my healing. The only way that I will be made whole is if Jesus intervenes. He faced a very certain death, but he had a very certain dependence. Lord, you can change this. Can I say to you this morning that the only one that can change your sinful nature is the Lord Jesus Christ himself? The Bible says, we were discussing this morning in our prayer time, and before we went to prayer, we're discussing the verse, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Listen to this, it is not of yourselves. It's not of anything that we could do. Why? Lest we would boast. We'd all get to heaven and we declare to everybody else, hey, I deserve to be here because of what I did to get here. But the Bible says that it is all of grace. What is grace? Grace is the riches of Almighty God that have been made available to us, that we who did not deserve it might have an eternal life in heaven. It's all of grace, my friend. Now listen to this. In Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done. So Titus 3, 5, it is not by works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it is by grace that you're saved. My friend, if it's of grace, it cannot be of works. If it's of works, it cannot be of grace. You cannot get saved by grace and then keep your salvation by works. It's all of grace. You remember the Apostle Paul declaring, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am in salvation by the grace of God. I am what I am in sanctification by the grace of God. Now let's apply that to what is happening around this globe in man-made religion. Man-made religion might say that they believe Jesus died on the cross. They might even say that they believe that Jesus died for the sins of mankind. But then they begin to add in their religious work. And they'll say things like this, I was baptized to wash away my sins. Or they'll say that they participate in the Holy Eucharist, and that's an assistance in my going to heaven. Or they'll say that they're going to take a missionary journey, and that will be an assistance to their going to heaven. Or they'll say that they're going to take their pilgrimage and it's their assistance in going to heaven. Or they'll add some other wording or some other work to what Jesus Christ has already done on the cross of Calvary. My friend, you must understand this morning that it is utter dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and listen to this, His finished work on the cross of Calvary that provides salvation for you and for me. In other words, I got saved because Jesus paid it all, and it is all to Him that I owe. From the early days of my life, I was brought up in church. From the early days of my life, I was taught the Word of God. From the early days of my life, I was brought to VBS and to all these activities and stuff like this. I've never known a day outside of church. And do you know what all of that matters to in light of eternity? Nothing! Because the only way to go to heaven is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, don't put on airs with everyone and put on this persona that you're religious and that it's going to make the difference in eternity, because the only thing that will make a difference in eternity is what you've done with the blood of Christ. He goes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he's not saying, Lord, I've done a great deal to bring about a good amount of cleansing and now I'm just going to turn to you for the final spots. No, in fact, I'm full of leprosy, and the only hope that I have is found in Jesus. He had a certain dependence. He was appointed a certain death because of the leprosy. Would you notice number three with me, the certain deliverance? Look what the Bible says in verse 13, and he put forth his hand. Now, I want to interject this. According to the law, you should never touch anyone that has leprosy. But the God of all mankind was willing to put forth his hand. The Bible says he put forth his hand and he touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Certain deliverance. This wasn't a halfway job. He is totally delivered from his leprosy. Jesus declared in the name of Almighty God, by His word, by His power, by His touch, He cleansed the leper. There are many in the culture of the day that would believe that God was the one that gave leprosy or that allowed the leprosy to come into the body. And so while the Jews accounted for it as an incurable distemper, called from the finger of God, it was the hand of God that would in fact remove the nature of the leprosy. Certain deliverance, I am healed. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe to this point of your life, maybe you're 35 years old, and to this point of your life, you've lived your life for religion and what you can do to be in good standing with Almighty God, with what you can do in attendance in a religious work or in a religious work or a religious place of worship, and it's all about what you've done. Then my friend, today's the day to turn your back on your own religion and to trust Jesus Christ and to get a relationship with the Lord Himself. And that relationship is found through His shed blood. Do you know the Savior? Jesus can deliver you from the wickedness of the past. Jesus can deliver you, as we've mentioned in previous messages, from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. Jesus can deliver you one day from the very presence of sin. Certain deliverance. But now will you note with me in this fourth issue as we walk further, there was not only a certain death, he was going to die because of the leprosy if something wasn't done. He had a very certain dependence. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He had a very certain deliverance. Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. But then there was a very certain duty following that deliverance. Look at verse number 14. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. For so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. I very quickly want to detail for you the nature of his responsibility. And again, this is found all the way back in the book of Leviticus. If you thought you were cleansed of the leprosy, then the first thing you'd have to do would be to go show yourself to the priest. Now again, let's put this in real terms. Everybody knows that John is dying of leprosy. Everybody knows that he's cast out of his family. Everybody knows that he's been cast out of society. He's been made to wander with the other lepers. Everybody knows now he's had it for this amount of time. Everybody knows that he's going to die. He's full of leprosy. And yet this man has been healed. Now, I understand how we would be. We would be in a position where we'd be like, well, I got to run back and tell my spouse first. I have to go see my kids. I haven't hugged my children in years. I want to go see them. I want to just proclaim God has healed me. I've got to go tell them. But God, Jesus Christ, directs him to fulfill what was stated there in the book of Leviticus. And the number one issue was to go and show himself to the priest. Make this clear to the priest and allow the priest to give you that stamp, if you would, that you've been healed. But it wasn't just that he showed himself to the priest, and this is where I hope that this will take on a little bit further symbolism for you and a little bit more energy for what we've been given in Christ. Maybe some of you are familiar with this. Maybe some of you get caught up in the thickness of Leviticus, and so you don't read the nitty-gritty on this. But do you know that there was a sacrifice that had to be made if you were cleared or cleansed of leprosy? Let me rehearse one aspect of that. If a man or woman were healed of leprosy, they were to go and to appear before the priest, and the priest would declare them to be cleansed. They could now come back into their family. They could come back into society. They could interact again. They were cleansed. But there was a sacrifice. And the one that had been cleansed was to bring two birds to the priest. The priest would then kill one of those birds. And the blood of that bird would be poured out on the live bird. And the individual that had been cleansed would then take that bird away, and the blood of the sacrifice was now covering the blood or the body of the living bird. And he carries it away, and now the blood of the sacrifice is covering that bird, and it now has application for the one that is carrying it as he goes away to declare before everyone, I've been cleansed. And they say, really? Prove it. The blood of the one sacrificed is covering me. In April of 1976, it's hard to imagine, it's this very time of year, April of 1976, right here at FBT, the blood of one sacrificed covered my life. And I went home on a Wednesday night. I told my dad after the lessons and so forth that we had in Sunday school and our Wednesday night services with the children and so forth. And I told my dad, Dad, I want to be saved. And my dad sat down with me and he showed me how I could know for sure that I was on my way to heaven. And in April of 1976, I took the blood of one that had been sacrificed and I allowed it to wash away all my sins. Oh, I was still well alive. Oh, I was full of life. But now, my friend, I had a covering. And that covering said to everybody else, he's been cleansed. I want you to think this morning, has there been a time in your life where you have taken the blood from the lamb that was shed and applied it to your life? Has there been a time in your life where you've confessed your sins, where you've repented of those sins and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you? You see, we all face a certain death. But we can go to the one who can bring certain deliverance. And in hearing what Jesus has done for us, we have a very certain duty to go out and tell other people of the Lamb that shed His blood that we might be covered. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this passage and the story of this leper. As one commentator declared, seems as though in the scriptures Jesus healed the sick, but he cleansed the leper. And what a lesson for us in the nature of our sin, and how we must go to the right one for the right cleansing. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no way to come to the Heavenly Father but by the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come through Jesus Himself. The Bible declares that He paid it all. There's nothing that we can add to it. There's no work that can be done in and of our own merit to gain eternal life. We are, as this leper was, facing a certain death. But he put his faith and trust in the one that could make the difference. And I pray this morning for each one that's gathered in this auditorium. It may be that they've been religious for many years, but not yet converted. It may be a teenager, a young person, maybe a young adult or a senior adult. And in their heart, they know that they've never been born again. Would you bring conviction to their heart, even right now? Draw them to yourself, that they might be saved. It is so significant to consider the symbolism of what was necessary in that sacrifice, as the blood of one bird would cover the other bird. And they would go out rejoicing because of the sacrifice of one. And it was a testimony to everyone around them that they had been cleansed. When we consider that symbolism this morning, may you stir each believer as to what Jesus has done for us. He shed His blood that He might cover us, redeem us from our eternity in hell. Father, I pray that You would